Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm coming to you from KOSU in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. This community, this city, opened itself to us on the very first Monday of the Trump presidency. And what a weekend of contrasts and collages of American democracy, political passion we saw, maybe some confusion. Marches around the world raised issues of gender and the protection of marginalized communities in an unmistakable way. The Women's March is being called the largest political demonstration in U.S. history. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston, even here in Red State, Oklahoma, the numbers exceeded all expectations. And here's what I mean about contrasts. At one point, there were aerial shots from cities around the world, and at the exact same moment, over at the CIA, Donald Trump was trying to mend fences with his national security team on Saturday. While Kellyanne Conway was arguing on behalf of alternative facts, there was a debate over crowd sizes at his inauguration, a blasting of the media, and it was all the opening chord of this Trump-era symphony, set amidst very real actions taken by the Trump administration, executive orders rolling back the Affordable Care Act, annual mortgage insurance premiums borrowers pay when taking out government-backed loans were frozen. The Justice Department cleared the way for President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to formally join the team. Distance from the White House and overwhelming solidarity in the streets for a democracy that is more representative of the people. That's what we saw over the weekend. But in this possibly more pro-Trump state than any other in the union, all that was very far away. Just outside of Oklahoma City, in a howling, constant wind on a hill in a little town called Wellston, a big farmhouse with sturdy planks, land stretching for miles, with a chicken coop here and there, a tool barn over there, a line of more than a half dozen brand-new but dusty pickup trucks lined the driveway. And here at the home of plumbing contractor Wayne McConnell, pickups trump Priuses. But it's surprising as you sip a cup of coffee and gather around the couch with a big-screen TV tuned to the Green Bay Packers' demise, the sound turned down, of course, there is some serious skepticism about Donald Trump, perhaps the biggest conservative change agent in American politics in two generations. Big Wayne says Donald Trump's got a style problem.
I think he's too bombastic. I think he goes overboard, but I think it appeals to a lot of people. And in some ways, it appeals to me.
Meet Dwayne Danker, family friend and superintendent of the Wellston Public Schools. He's not impressed with Secretary of Education nominee Betsy DeVos.
I don't like the road that we're on as far as his choice for Secretary of Education.
And there's young Meg Stewart, Wayne's daughter. She's a college graduate, a stay-at-home mom, and likes Donald Trump taking on the media, but is worried that he might be getting in his own way.
You can appreciate what he's trying to do as far as letting more people be heard and making it to where the media doesn't have as much control. But yes, I think you can recognize that there are flaws in what he's trying to and how he's trying to accomplish it.
And then there's Tracy Swofford, a teacher at Wellston Public Schools who speaks for all these folks on a Sunday afternoon. After 8 years of Obama, it's time for the pendulum to swing.
I feel like our whole country's too far to the left. The moral standards, what you see on TV, I don't feel is representative of what most of America feels, or the map wouldn't look like it does.
And that was our mission, to spend some time with people who feel forgotten by the elites of Washington, who want change, who understand that while they may be in a bubble, so are the people in power, and they are determined to be heard. So far, they're pretty happy with what they see. Will McConnell is Wayne's son, a pastor, father of 9 kids, 3 adopted, and he's also a plumber in Oklahoma City.
I didn't vote for Trump. In the primaries, I voted for Dr. Carson. And in the presidency, I actually didn't vote for either president candidate because I don't like the idea of voting against somebody, which is what a lot of conservatives did. They're not for Trump. They were just against Hillary. And I don't like that premise. I personally am not a huge advocate for President Trump. I hope he's going to move the country in the direction at least that I hope the country's going to move into, which is more of a conservative, more of kind of a power to the people.
But you're not afraid of Trump being president?
No, because I think the president doesn't have a lot of power in the first place. One, I'm a Christian, and so I have complete confidence in and God having control of everything. And if Hillary was president, I'd have confidence that she was there for a reason also. And so I don't have a fear that Trump's president. I think he can be a little authoritarian, a little dictatorship type style. And so I'm cautious of that. But it seems to be the type of people he is surrounding himself with are people that I would like to see more of our country move towards that way.
What's your message to people who believe, you know, bans on Muslims, expressions of racially incorrect kinds of statements that seem to endorse racial intolerance, and even the, you know, making fun of the reporter with the disability? What's your message to people who focus a lot on that?
It's unacceptable. I mean, it needs to stop. I mean, it's not right, and it needs to stop. Pretty well it in a nutshell. We need to all be treated equal, but, I mean, Oklahoma's strongly pro-life, most of us. And Trump was pro-life, and, you know, Hillary was not. So, I mean, you look at some of those type of issues, and that's, you know, like I said, you might not agree with a lot of things on Trump, but there's some things that we value even more.
Is liberal immoral?
No. Not in and of itself, no. But when you made a comment to Dwayne about banning Muslims, that isn't what he said. Trump never, and I didn't vote for Trump either. Don't get me wrong. I didn't vote for either one of the two. When you're talking about is liberalism bad or good, no, it's not in and of itself any more than conservatives by itself is good or bad.
To try to decode that, it sounds like the parties don't have a whole lot of meaning to any of you folks here.
I would say it's what they stand for more than if they call themselves Democrat or Republican. Do they say they're pro-life? They say they're pro-American. Do they say they're for putting people to work and not everybody just wanting to live off everybody else? I mean, it's time people are responsible for themselves and their families and go to work. And I mean, I do feel like that Republican is just a name, Democrat's a name. I'm going to vote for who I feel like I line up more with what they say they believe in, because that's all we have to go off of is what they say they believe in.
Do you think we've reached a point in American history where we need to do something maybe a little more intentional about getting together blacks and whites somehow, and that whatever we're doing right now isn't working?
I would agree that whatever we're doing right now is not working. There's policemen out there, I'm sure, that have made mistakes. We've watched it on TV where it looks like they probably shouldn't have fired a gun, but sometimes they just got a second to make a decision, you know, whether they think somebody's got a gun or a weapon, and could have been an honest mistake many times. But just say they were shot because of their color, I don't know that happens very, very rarely.
There came to be, in the last few years of the Obama administration, a consensus among conservative Republicans and liberal Democrats that the number of people who are incarcerated was too much, and there needed to be some kind of sentencing reform, that there needs to be some program for releasing people who are sentenced and in a situation where when they come out, they are ill-equipped to deal with society and are much more likely to create the kinds of problems that you were talking about over here. Are you aware of that consensus that Republicans and Democrats want to try to come together and change that?
They've been saying that for 100 years. The recidivism rate whenever they get out of prison has always been sky high. But go back to the baser, and that is, if you lack the morals, then you're going to break the law. You break the law, you're more likely to go to prison. Most of the people, black, white, red, any other color, that are in prison are because of a bad moral decision.
There are folks who say that the cumulative effect of slavery and then what happened during Jim Crow, where people were lynched in public, and the violence that took place against African Americans has produced a series of kind of moral and spiritual scars, and also a lack of opportunity that we're just now getting to deal with. Is there anything that we need to do now to compensate for that history?
No. I'm a card-carrying Indian, okay? So my ancestors were on the Trail of Tears with the Cherokee tribe. I'm also Irish, and the Irish were getting whooped up on by the English for hundreds of years. I don't have those scars. I grew up. And when I grew up, I took responsible for myself. I didn't blame what happened to my grandfather three generations back. That's the kind of the way I look at it.
When you say that, it means like we're stuck, because if you're gonna say that and they're going to believe that there are real problems, then we're never going to agree, and there are going to be lots of people in prison, and the crime's just going to stay the same.
It may stay the same, but that's the price that they'll have to pay.
Who's hopeful and why?
Well, I'm hopeful. I try to be optimistic, and I think there's going to be some changes made.
Hopeful because it's a new day, because of the heart and the propensity for the American people to restore and to heal. Hopeful because it has seemed to me over the past 8 years that our commander and chief, kind of the leader, representative leader of our country, hasn't helped to heal racial divides. I'm hopeful that for a man who has been in the entertainment industry and the business industry for most of his life, and who has worked with a variety of different people from different ethnicities, that he will use those skills to be able to try to mend.
Sometimes I'm very hopeful because I'll see, especially in social media, where people, it seems like they're looking for answers more than just accepting what's handed to them. And I'm hopeful for that because then I hope that it helps them become more involved and more engaged, not only in politics, but in their community. But then again, I'm more anxious than anything just to see how it goes.
I think there's a lot more in common with the average American than we ever give realize, because the media and others focus on small, very small events that people extrapolate to get a distorted view of everybody, and it gives you a false perspective.
I'm hopeful about the programs that he says, the agenda that he says he's going to do. I'm hopeful because I don't put my faith in any man. I put mine in my Lord. And so I don't, who wins or loses in the end, of course, I would be very sad if Hillary Clinton had won, but my hope would not be lost.
That's Tracy Swafford, a teacher at Wellston Public Schools. We also spoke with Wayne McConnell and his son Will, both plumbers in Oklahoma City. Meg Stewart, Wayne's daughter, is a college graduate and a stay-at-home mother. And we met Dwayne Danker, the superintendent of Wellston Public Schools. They gave of their time generously on a Sunday afternoon, and we learned a lot.